Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
That movie was 1992. Do you feel old yet? I quoted that movie to Pastor James last year, and he had never heard of it. I said, "Are you kidding me? Are you serious? You cannot handle the truth?" And he's like, "I got nothing for you, man." And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me." I could not believe that somebody had not seen that movie. And it was just, if you haven't, you need to go back and see it. And normally when it's an older movie, I will tell you everything about the movie, because I would assume you have had 20 years to watch the movie, so you should have seen it by now. But that movie really is not about whether or not Colonel Jessup ordered the code red. That movie really is about honor. It is about the various characters in the movie learning about honor. There's characters in that movie who think they know what honor is and realize they don't. There's characters in that movie who, for instance, the part played by Tom Cruise, he's a Lieutenant JG lawyer in the Navy. And to him, being in the military means he goes and he does a few hours of work and then he goes and plays softball. And so all of the things about duty and honor and code really don't mean a lot to him. And he comes in contact with these Marines, and it's very interesting. Back in 1992, the biggest threat our country faced was Cuba. Just let that sink in for a minute about what things have happened since. They had to, like, create this major tension about Cuba back in the day, because there wasn't a wars going on over the world and people really trying to come after us like they are now. So it's just, even that part of the movie is really unique to see how much things have changed. But in that movie, there's these Marines who, they talk about how we live by these principles, and honor is one of these principles we live by, because if you don't, people get killed. And so it's a way of life for us. And so there's this battle that goes on, and as they're trying to figure this thing out, and the movie kind of crescendos with that, where both the Marine who thought he knew what honor was but was misguided with it, and the part played by Tom Cruise, who knew he didn't know anything about honor, and in the course of the movie learns what it is, and it kind of comes together, that culmination where he says, you know, you don't have to be in the military. You don't have to have a badge on your arm to be a man of honor. That's not who defines you. That's not what defines what honor is, because the two of them are learning about what it really means to have honor and to show honor. And to kick off a message about honor, in America, I almost have to go to our military to give you an example, because we Americans aren't really good at this whole honor thing. It's not really not really something we value in America outside of the military. And what I mean by that is we think we value honor, but really it's not honor, it's respect. I mean, we all know in America we're all about respect. We have songs about it. We will spell it out for you. We will talk about it. We will demand it. We refuse to show it unless it's been shown to us. We actually pride ourselves on having a very high level of respect about what we demand to be shown of us. And if you show me respect, then I'll show you respect. But if you don't show me respect, then I'm not going to show you respect. And we think that we think that's the same thing as showing honor. But respect and honor are two very different things. Respect is about what you have done. We respect people for what they have or have not done. That's why we all universally right now respect our military, and we honor them. But really what we're kind of saying is we respect them because of what they do. And by the way, that respect was missing back when that movie came out. Because back when that movie came out, we didn't understand why we even had a military back then. I mean, if Cuba is our biggest threat, who cares, right? But what happened is after 9/11, we began to realize just how important it is to have a military, just how important it is to have somebody on that wall, just how important it is to have somebody who is on watch for us. And so a greater level of respect has happened in our country because we realize of what they have done for us. But we still struggle with honor. And you see it in every area of our life. We struggle to honor our presidents. It really bothers me whenever I hear somebody say any of these things: Mr. Clinton, Mr. Bush, Mr. Obama. Really, it just, you want to grate on my last nerve, say one of those three things. Because once they are elected to president, they are no longer Mr. That is no longer their title for the rest of their life. They are president. They are President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama for the rest of their life. And here's the thing. It's not about their policies or what you do or don't like. It's not about whether or not you respect them or what they stand for or what they did in office or if they disgraced the office or if they came out with something that was against God's word. That does not give you license to disrespect them. You still honor them because what they represent and the title they represent and the position they represent is what we hold dear to us. There is something very unique about the presidency that we've completely forgotten. Back when this country was founded, this thing we celebrated last night by blowing stuff up, that wasn't just an excuse to go redneck for a night. That's not what that was about. That was about remembering the fact that we are a country that was so unique on the landscape of history that when we got our independence from the monarchy, from the kingship of Europe, President George Washington, our first president, did not believe in the idea of kingship, but rather he said, I want to give the power to the people. And so he created this office, this new concept of a president, one who would govern at the wishes of the people, one that would allow us to be in control of who we are. And so that is something that garnered respect around the world for it. And it's something that we as a country should show honor to because it represents who we are as a people. And it's not about the man. It's not about what he's done or whether or not he's worthy of our respect. The very position is worthy of honor because it's who we are as a country. And by the way, as great as our democracy is, it really messes us up when it comes to God. We have a hard time showing God honor. And we're going to see that this morning. And the reason why is because God is not a president. He is a king. And we are part of his kingdom. We're not part of his democracy. We don't get a say. And the way that you respond to a king intuitively, instinctively, is very different than the way that we think about responding to a president. And that's why many cultures around the world have a much easier time understanding the need to show honor than we Americans do. You go to an Asian country, countries that for centuries were ruled by emperors. They know how to show honor. It is a part of their culture to show honor. I can't even give you a cultural custom that we have in America that shows honor. It's really hard. You have to really dig for it. I couldn't find just an average everyday clip. I had to go to the military because the only community we have in America where they consistently value this idea and concept of honor. It's not about whether or not you respect your boss at work. It's not about whether you respect your lieutenant or your captain or your CO or XO, whatever they are. It's not about that. It's about you honor their role. You honor their position. You honor what you're a part of. And you honor our country by doing what they say and showing them honor. You stand up. You salute. You do that to show honor. It's not about respect. It's about showing honor. We have a hard time showing honor in other realms. We know that we're supposed to honor our mother and father, right? That's right out of scripture. We know we're supposed to show honor in the family. Yet as America, we struggle with this. And it's because we're not training a generation to show honor. Rather, what we're doing is we're sitting in front of a TV and allowing Disney to show them how to treat parents. And Disney is not about showing honor to parents, are they? Whether you go to the old-time movies we grew up with or the TV shows that our kids are watching today, I don't know whether it's Jesse or Raven or people living on a Dex or whoever these shows are, whatever. They consistently basically show this to kids. You can dishonor your parents, you can live life without your parents, and you can get everything you want. That is the message we are teaching a generation. But keep in mind, we can't get mad at Disney for this, because when the scriptures say, honor your mother and father, is God expecting a five-year-old to read that out of scripture, have an epiphany, and realize he's supposed to show his parents honor and respect? No! That's given to you as parents to teach that to your kids and to instill them in that. And you see, this is something that we need to bring back with our children. It's something that doesn't just go with the kids. It also goes towards how we treat our spouse. It says in Hebrews 13:4 that we are to honor marriage. We're to show honor to our spouse. And you see, in Scripture, what happens is we think that what is the opposite of showing honor? Dishonor. That's a knee-jerk reaction, dishonor. But it's not just about showing dishonor. I've seen a lot of people show dishonor to their spouses. When you're running your spouse into the ground in a public forum, that is very dishonorable. It doesn't matter what they've done or how funny the story is, it is very, very dishonorable. But it's not just that we have a problem with in marriage. You see, there's another thing that is the opposite of showing honor, and that is, and see in Scripture, to show something honor means to show value. And the opposite of that, when you see it in certain contexts, is to treat something not as valuable, but as just common, as ordinary, as no big deal, ho-hum. And what you see oftentimes in the context of a marriage is instead of treating the spouse as though they are unique and special and treasured and God's perfect provision for your life, we treat them just as we would everybody else. And so we wear clothing not because we're trying to seek the affections of that one who is special and important to us. We wear clothing because we're trying to seek the affections of all men because we want all men to look to us in that certain way. And there's nothing special about the way my husband looks at me anymore. And there's nothing special about the admiration or the attention that my wife gives me. I've got to get the admiration, attention, and claim the notice of all women. And so what happens is that our marriages become very common because we're treating each other as very common. And I think we need to go back to some of the Motown lyrics and just remember that there ain't no woman like the one I got. Woo! Right? And that should be a part of your mindset and the way you think and the way you treat. And if you don't want to have a common marriage, then don't treat them as common. And so often we mix these things up and we say, but how can I show honor to somebody who is not worthy of it? Whoa, 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 whoa. Honor is not about who they are. It's about who you are and what you value. It's about who or what you value. That is where honor comes from. There's great examples in scripture, people showing honor to those who are not worthy of respect. One of my favorite examples is that of Noah in Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Noah is this great man of God, and God says, you know, I'm going to build all of humanity out of your family because you're doing things right and you're living right and you have a right relationship with me. And so he builds the ark, all the animals get on it. And then afterwards, something happens. This is the only thing in the Noah movie that is even semi-accurate, but even the reasons why for it in the movie are skewed. What happens, this is a true story. If you look in Genesis chapter 9, this actually happens with Noah. After the whole ark thing, he gets crazy drunk, naked, and passes out. I mean, he looks like a frat boy, okay? There is nothing respectful about somebody who is passed out drunk buck naked, right? Would you all agree with that? Especially, there's nothing respectful about a parent or an adult. I mean, you can sort of understand, you know, when... Just ride with me on this. You can understand. Don't think about you now looking back at somebody who's 20. Think about when you were 20 and you think to look at your friends and you sort of understood when your 20-year-old friends, when you were 20-year-old, would get drunk, pass out naked. I mean, it was funny, whatever. Well, here's the thing. One of his sons looks at his dad and has no respect for him whatsoever. And he does the equivalent of the, you know, 8,000 BC, wherever this took place. He does the equivalent of pulling out a Sharpie and wanting to draw pictures on his dad's face. See, some of y'all have partied and some of y'all haven't. That just revealed it right there. So, you know, it's one of those little things that sort of reveals. Sometimes I show out man tests. Sometimes I just kind of show out, you know, tests to see what your past is like. Just saying, when people pass out and they're drunk, they can't, you draw little mustaches and stuff on their face. So they wake up and see it. And moving on. Not that I've ever done this. That's for you to wonder about. So that's what one of the kids wants to do. And the other two boys say, no, that is no way to treat our father. And so what they do is they pick up a blanket, and they're not going to look, they're not going to poke fun. They pick up a blanket, one holds each side of it, and they walk backwards so they will not look upon his nakedness, and they drop a sheet over to him so he can be there asleep with honor and dignity. And they walk away. And afterwards, God basically says, Cain, who was the one who was wanting to draw the Sharpie, he says, not acceptable. I am not in favor of this, and I will punish you for the way you've treated your father. And he looks at the other two kids, and he says, I will reward you for what you have done. And so you see, there's a situation where not worthy of respect, but we still show honor. Because it wasn't about Noah, was it? It was about the character of those three young men. And the character that's within you is why you show honor. It's not about what they do. And I know a lot of you have spouses who you feel are not worthy of your respect, or you have parents who are not worthy of your respect, or you feel the leadership in our country is not worthy of your respect, whether it's in this generation or the last administration, whatever it may be. But here's the thing. Honor is not about them. It is about you. It is about who or what you value. Do you value the institution of presidency? Do you value the democracy for which our country stands? Do you value the sanctity of the family? Do you value the structure and the authority which God has placed into the family? Do you value the bonds that God has created for you to live by? Do you value those things or do you not? It is not about them. It is about you and who or what it is that you value. And I mentioned something in there real quick. What happens with Shem and the other guy, Jephthah and Canaan? There was a reward for those who showed honor. And there was something else not as good or not good at all for the ones who did not show honor, who showed dishonor in that moment. And this is a pattern that you see throughout Scripture. And I have a really hard time teaching this message for two reasons. One, there are 1,000 of these examples throughout Scripture. And most of us in church know nothing about them because this just isn't something we teach. It isn't something we talk about, especially not in America. It's just, I can't name any message I've ever heard on honor. And there's a connection you'll see consistently through Scripture between honor and reward. And the reason why we're going through all of this, just kind of get to the overview of the series real quick, is because we're trying to look back at the life of Jesus and ask ourselves, what was it about Jesus that people loved? What was it about Jesus that made people who were nothing like him love to be around him? And see, the reason why we need to know this is because we as a church are called to be a manifestation, a representation of Jesus Christ. And the idea, the picture, the vision that God had for the church is that when we come together as a church, somebody from our community here in Virginia Beach, 2,000 years after Jesus died on the cross, went into heaven, somebody from Virginia Beach could walk into our church and know exactly what it's like to be in the presence of Jesus Christ because he or she was in our church. That was God's vision. And yet, what we're seeing is that 7 out of 10 people, somebody asked me recently, where do you keep getting the 7 out of 10? A statistical survey and analysis was done of our city and found there were these pockets around our city where 7 out of 10 people did not have any relationship with God and were not in any way connected to any Bible-believing preaching church of any denomination whatsoever. And our church right now, where we sit right here today, is in the middle of one of those sections, and where we're trying to go launch a second campus is right in the middle of three, a triangulation of three, a five-mile radius as it sits right in the middle is where town center is, of concentrations of the highest concentrations of lostness within our city. So that is why we're going that, and that is where I get those numbers from. I'm not just pulling them out of a hat. That's actually where they come from. So what we're saying is 7 out of 10 people say, I'm not really attracted to church, which is a problem for us because people who are nothing like Jesus love to be around him for some reason. People who are nothing like Jesus in our day and time don't seem to want to be around him. And I don't think it's because we're not teaching the right thing. I think it's because we don't have that same it factor that Jesus had. And my hope is that we as a church would have it and that we would never lose it and we would focus on it. And so my hope is we're going through these things. These aren't just about benefiting your family. These are about us as a community coming together and being more like Christ and having that same it factor that would attract and draw people to him, that might have a loving relationship with him that could last for all eternity. So all of that, moving on. So this whole thing of honor. Jesus was all about showing honor. It's amazing the honor he showed. If you look at the people Jesus ate dinner with, that is a way you honor. So think about the party invitations you get. It is an honor when you show up. You're honoring that person. When you show up to somebody's birthday, it's showing them honor. When they invite you over for dinner, it's an honor. Because there's some people you get invited to and you're like, oh, I don't want to go over their house. Right? You have that thought, right? So it is an honor. You're showing somebody honor when you show up. Think about the people who Jesus went and ate dinner with. He goes to Zacchaeus and says, I want to eat at your house. He was a tax collector. He was the lowest of the low sleazeballs in his community. He goes to Matthew, same guy, same kind of similar situation, so he eats dinner with him. Not only does he go and he shows them honor, he also goes and eats dinner with these pharisaical, I use the word kind of synonymous with hypocritical, these hypocritical church leaders who wanted nothing to do with him, who did not respect him, and yet he shows them honor by showing up to their house as well to eat dinner. Can you imagine showing up to dinner, to eat dinner at somebody's house who shows you no respect? Because back in that day, picture, like, when you show up to somebody's house for a dinner party in our day and time, you would knock on the door, they would come to the door, they would let you in, they'd greet you, hug, whatever it might be, and you'd come on in. And the equivalent of what they did to Jesus when he showed up at these religious leaders' house, it'd be him knocking on the door and hearing, open up, it's open! And you see, you do that to close friends, and that's okay with close friends. But to a guest, an honored guest, is that what you do? It'd be the equivalent of pulling up to, you know, your girlfriend, you know, from a first date and beeping the horn, expecting her to come out. Dads, don't let your daughter leave the house if that ever happens. That's what they do to him. And yet he still comes in and eats with them. And then what's he do with his disciples? Disciples aren't about showing him honor for what he's about to go do for them. They're arguing about over who's the greatest. And what does Jesus do? He gets down and he assumes the lowest position in the room. And he honors each and every one of them by washing their feet. Jesus was all about showing honor, showing honor, showing honor. And people knew it, and they were attracted to it. And it was different than what they saw everywhere else. And so we're going to be looking at how is it that we can show that same kind of honor. But also, well, first, before I get there, I want to put this connection. There is a connection between showing honor and a reward. There is an honor for showing a reward. Let's look over Matthew chapter 10 where we see this. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, listen, anyone who honors you honors me. And this is a principle we all know. If you show honor to my wife, I feel like as if you've shown honor to me. You honor my kids, I feel honor. I feel honored that you would honor my kids. Now, because if you may not pick up on that, do you have a sense in you that wells up when somebody shows dishonor to somebody in your family? Do you take it personal when somebody shows dishonor to somebody in your family? Yes, you do. And you want to go do something about it. I've seen men and women alike. You do not talk to my man like that. I will not listen to you say something. And then if somebody dishonors your wife, you will not talk to my wife like that. And I've seen people go ballistic on this issue. Because we take it personally. When you dishonor someone who is connected to me or who is a part of me, I take that as you showing honor or dishonor towards me. And Jesus says the same. When somebody shows you honor, they're honoring me. If they dishonor you, they're dishonoring me. So think about this connection. Let this play out. Who is attached to God? Who is a part of God? Pretty soon you're going to figure out God has created all of us. Each and every one of us is a creation of God, a special masterpiece of God's workmanship. So who is God going to want us to show honor to? Real quick, I'm going to give you the whole sermon right here. everyone. All right, so let's just move on. It says, whoever honors you honors me, and anyone who honors me welcomes the one who sent me. So basically what he's saying, there's a chain here. When you honor the people I've sent, you're honoring me, Jesus. When you honor me, Jesus, you're honoring God the Father himself. There's a connection. So when you're honoring the people that are in your life, you are honoring God himself. In the same way that we talk about how we need to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love others, how do we show love towards God? We show love towards God by loving others. Jesus would say, whenever you do this for the least of these, you're doing it for me. So he takes it very personal. The love that we show to the least of these, he takes very personal. The honor we show even to the least of these. And you're going to see that right in here. It says, whoever honors you honors me. Whoever honors me has honored the one who sent me, which is God the Father. So in verse 41, watch this chain. He says, whoever honors a prophet will receive a prophet's, anybody know what the next word is? Reward. There's a connection right there, spelled out. And if you didn't get it there, he goes on to say, and whoever honors a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And anyone who gives even a cup of cold water to one of the least of these little ones who is my disciple, I tell you truly, that person will certainly not lose their reward. So there's a reward for honoring those who are above you, those who are honoring those, there's a reward for those honoring those who are beside you, and a reward for honoring those who are beneath you. And those are the three levels of which he talks about. There's those who are in authority over us, the prophet, we'll get to that in a minute. There are those who are of equal authority to us, those ones who are alongside of us. We talk about the righteous man there. And then he talks about this one who is the least of these. So we are to show honor to those who are above us, those who are beside us, and those who are below us. And there is a reward for that. So let me just, before I get into that whole hierarchy thing, let me go to the reward side of things. There's another story that Jesus tells that is told about Jesus over in Mark chapter 6. Some of y'all may have heard of this story or maybe remember this story as I'm telling it. This is where Jesus goes back to his hometown. He's been going out and doing ministry all over the area. And he goes back to his hometown. And he stands up on a, I'm going to 21st centuryize a thing, and yes, they celebrate on Saturday, but I'm going to use Sunday because that's kind of our context. So just know that I'm sort of paraphrasing things so you understand it better. It'd be like Jesus walking in to church in his hometown on a Sunday morning, back in the day and time when everybody showed up at church, not in the 21st century, only a few people come to church. I'm talking like Little House on the Prairie days where the entire community came together to church. You know what I'm talking about? It was a community gathering event, and they all had a very certain connection between them where they knew certain things together, and we'll get to that in a minute. So it says he came back to his hometown. He was accompanied by disciples, and when the Sabbath came, he began to preach in the synagogue, and those who heard them were amazed. Now, they were amazed, not because they were like, wow, this is amazing teaching. They were amazed for a very different reason. We know from the other accounts of what happens here is that Jesus stands up and he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11. And Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11 is where God says, Isaiah 29, verse 11, where God says this. I don't know whether it's 6:11 or 29:11. Somebody else can look it up and tell me whether I got it right. I may have put it up there. Yeah, it's 29:11-13, but for some reason, in my notes, I put 6. So moving on. Now you know where it is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and give sight to the blind and set the oppressed free. Okay? This was a verse that everybody in that room knew from their childhood. Because for them, church wasn't just church. It was also sort of a nationalistic part of their heritage. In the same way, if I were to stand up here and say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I think everybody in this room who's an American, who celebrated by blowing stuff up last night, should know what that phrase is. And if you don't, there's a boat leaving every 5 minutes. You can get on and find some other place to live. I'm just serious, because we forget that. And when we forget that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, stupid stuff happens in our country, right? We forget that we're all, moving on. So this was a phrase like that. And he gets up and he quotes this verse that everybody in the room knew. And he says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and sent me to claim freedom. This was a verse about the Messiah, the one who would come to break them free, who would take them out of oppression. And they lived under oppression. They kept waiting for God to rescue them. And Jesus reads this verse about God coming to rescue them. And he says, in your hearing today, this prophecy has been fulfilled through me. It's like time to drop the mic and walk off stage, that sort of moment. He was dropping a bomb on them at that moment. Where he says, listen, you know how God has promised to send somebody to set us free? I'm the one he's sending. And says they were amazed. They weren't like, wow, yeah, woo! No, it was, seriously? Isn't this the kid who grew up down, what, Tommy, wasn't this the kid you grew up with? Ain't this James's brother? Didn't you try to date him years ago and he said no? Didn't he make that bench out back your house? And he's going to be the Messiah? Yeah, whatever. That's how they took it. You see, they didn't understand the unique and specialness of Jesus. They looked at him as being what? Common. He's just a common, ordinary, everyday guy. And you're trying to tell me he's somebody special? He ain't nobody special. You see, not showing honor is not just about showing dishonor. Sometimes it's just about treating something that is supposed to be honorable and treating it as though it's just common and everyday. And so it says, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. And that's so true. There's a saying when it comes to preaching and public speaking, if you want to be an expert, just go 50 miles away from home. And it's true. Beginning of next month, I will go up to Northern Virginia and I will speak to Gospel Fight Club, the guy who came here and led us for a Sunday. We kind of had a swap thing where he did our event. I'm going to go do his event. I will go up there. They will see me as an amazing expert in all things life and marriage and God. And y'all are like, yeah, okay, whatever. Thrill me. That video wasn't all that good this morning. Do something cool. I'm just saying, sometimes we have that sort of thought. Because pretty soon you get so used to somebody, you treat them as common. And I could digress. So anyways, they don't respect him. Actually, better yet, they don't show him honor because they treat him as common. So it says, the prophet's not without honor in his hometown. It says, and he could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few people who were sick and heal them. Did you pick up on that? It says he could not. Not that he would not. It wasn't that Jesus was so offended by their lack of honor that he says, well, that's how you're going to treat me. I'm not going to treat you. That'd be respect. No, it didn't say that he would not. It said that he could not. You see, his ability to perform miracles is given to him by God. Okay, God the Father. When he came down to earth, he left all of that behind. Only way he could do anything is if God filled him with his presence in that moment to do it. Okay, it's the only way he could do it. It was always God's power working through him in a supernatural way. Because Jesus would say, the same things that I am doing, you can do also. We always look at Jesus as though he had some sort of like special otherness. The only special otherness that he had was a unique connection to God that we all long for and should have. Okay, but God always, he always had to rely on God the Father to do anything in that moment. Okay, he did not have the natural instinctive powers. He left all of that behind. It says in Philippians chapter 2 that he left that and he made himself nothing. He emptied himself. Okay, I don't know if you get that or not. So it says in this moment, he could not do anything. Why? Because God will not reward those who do not show honor. Period. He will not reward those who do not show honor. And so whenever you do not show honor, for those who show honor, he gives a full reward. Those who withhold honor, he gives a partial reward. Those who dishonor, he withholds all from them. And even sometimes brings a curse on them, if you look in scripture. And so it says he could not. So basically, what's happening at this time, keep in mind now, the reason why this is important, he heals a few sick people. Think of all, he healed a few sick people. Isn't that important? Listen, healing somebody's sniffles is nothing compared to what's been going on everywhere else Jesus has gone. Okay, at this time, he has brought people from the dead back to life. There has been people who've never seen a day in their life who can now see clearly. There are people who've never heard a word ever spoken and now can hear clearly. There are people who have been in a wheelchair paralyzed their entire life who now can run around and play soccer. The world's game, right? There are people who can do that now. Yet in his hometown, like there's a guy who's got like a chronic cough and he gets healed and that's about it. And here's the thing. If you saw these miracles happen, you'd be like, holy cow, there is a God. But sometimes we go to those fake faith healers, and what do they heal? A sniffle, a cough. Okay, gee, wow me, surprise. We're not really seeing a whole lot. No big deal there. And it says he could not. Why? Because they did not show honor. There is a reward consistently shown throughout Scripture for showing honor. By the way, as you read through the Ten Commandments, there's something very unique when you get to that commandment about honor your father and mother. Anybody know what that is? It says your days will be long. God says there is a reward for showing honor to your father and mother. And later on when he talks about it, he quotes this over in the book of Ephesians, when they quote back, he says that's the first commandment that's given where there is a promise attached to it. Do you see the consistency throughout Scripture that is shown? When you show honor, God will reward it. When you withhold honor, you only get a partial reward. When you show dishonor, God says, I ain't doing anything here. As a matter of fact, I may get so mad, I may do something about it. In the same way, when somebody shows your family no honor, you may or may not do something, you know, kind for the person. You know, it's kind of whatever, it's partial. But when somebody shows you dishonor, you're like, we're never shopping here again. We're never coming back here again. I'm going to tell all my friends not to come here again. You do the same thing. And God says, I do the same. So I ask you that you would show honor because there is a reward for showing honor. I don't know why we don't teach this. I don't know why there's no connection ever made with this. I don't know why it took me till I was in my 40s before I began to realize there was a connection scripturally over and over and over again between showing honor and there being a reward for it. All right, so you see this over and over again in the scripture. So he comes back to this thing, and he says, whoever honors you honors me. Whoever honors me honors the one who sent me. Whoever honors a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever honors a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Whoever gives even the least of these a cup of water, I tell you truly, that person will not lose their reward. And so there's those who are above us, those who are beside us, and those who are below us. And so talking about those who are above us, let's just get on that for a minute. He talks about a prophet. We don't really understand prophet because we don't see prophets nowadays. However, prophets in their day and age had a greater authority and a greater sense of power about them than even the king of the land. If you want to see this, go back into the stories of 1 Samuel. When Saul was the king and he had lost God's favor, God was going to go anoint David as king. And when Samuel shows up into the city where David's family lived, these people were freaking out because they knew that the prophet could show up and easily say, you do this or God's had it with you. They knew there was an authority there to not be messed with. And the reason why Saul lost his kingship is because he messed with that authority. That's how important. That was the highest authority that the Jewish folks knew. So that's why he talks about here, those who honor the prophet, receive the prophet. We talked about the highest authority out there. But it's representative in this section we're seeing of the authorities who are over us. And God has placed authorities over us. And we already talked already about the authority God has placed over us when it comes to the presidency of our country. And from the president all the way down to the policeman, there is an authority structure that God has put in place. And do you realize those authorities, God says, I put them in place. And I know you in your mind, because you're so big on respect that yourself, there's no way God could put somebody in power who doesn't do what God would want them to do, because that means, you know, that they're not godly. And it's not about them being godly or not being godly. It's about you showing honor because of who you are and what you value. Now, I honor God, I honor his system, I honor the world that he's created, and so I will show honor to the authorities. And you see this reflected in Romans chapter 13. It says they, talking about those people who are over us in a governmental sort of way, it says they are God's servants. They are God's servants. And he goes on to say, give to everyone what you owe them. It's taxes, pay taxes. You're showing honor to our country when you pay taxes. Whether you like it or not, you are showing honor to our country when you are paying taxes. If it's revenue, then give revenue. If it's respect, then respect. If it's honor, then give honor. There it is. I love how the way 1 Peter says this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the... Anybody know what he says next? It says, honor the emperor. If you know anything about the context and the day and the time and the setting in which this was written, they would make whatever president you do not like or disagree with their policies. He would make that president, that whatever one you're thinking of right now, first one that comes to mind, whatever political party you come to, whatever one you have a disdain for, okay, whatever, because it seems like everybody's political in this country. He would be considered Jesus himself in comparison to the Roman emperor of that day, okay, or of the local authorities that ruled in that day, honest to God, okay? We complain about all these things. Here's the deal. The emperor would ultimately, and his decrees would ultimately be the very thing that cost Peter his life. They would put him to death for his beliefs. The local leaders were gaining political power and esteem by persecuting Christians. And in the context of this, he says, honor the emperor. Now, was there anything respectful about the emperor? Was there anything godly about the way that the emperor handled his businesses or affairs? No. But he says, honor the emperor. We are to show honor in that area. Another area of honor we already talked about, that of our husbands and of our parents. Yes, did I say husbands? I said husbands. And of our wives. We show honor to our wives. He says you need to show honor to them as the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean they're weaker in any other way than the fact that you could beat them up. Most of you. I'm just saying, but typically the guy could beat up the girl. He says you need to show honor to her, okay? You know, you need to show, you don't use that in a way that bullies. You hold her up on a pedestal. Rule number one in my household is you do not disrespect mama. You do not dishonor mama. I was sitting in my study the other day, and all I heard was, you don't tell me no. Okay. It came from my special needs child, by the way. I sprang up out of that chair so fast, I got right in that little girl's face, and I said, you don't ever talk to your mother that way. And she may not understand every word I'm saying, but she understood one thing very clearly. What just came out of her mouth was met with a very negative response. And it was very negatively reinforced by me getting up in her grill. Because we don't do that. We show honor. We show honor. We show honor. We show honor. And we have a hard time wanting to show honor. I'll move on. Show honor to our social authorities, our bosses, our teachers, our coaches. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, now think about this, think about the setting, and think about if this is what he says to them, what could he possibly be saying to you? It says, all those who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of our God and our doctrine will not be spoken out against. Think about whatever you think of when you think of slavery, the good parts of it, the bad part. When I say good parts of it, you got to think in other cultures, there was slavery was not as oppressive and as demeaning as it was in American history. In other cultures, it was just that's you either owned or you worked. And if you worked, you were most likely a slave. That was, and some of you feel like you're slaves to your job because you owe. So after work, you go. And indebtedness makes you like a slave. You go through Dave Ramsey class, you'll see that the borrower is a what to a lender? The borrower is a servant to the lender. And so you have to serve whether you like it or not. You have to go to your work. And so what he's saying here is, listen, you need to show honor. Why? So the name of our God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. Do you think people look at the way that you act at work and puts two and two together? They look and say, this is how a Christian acts towards authority? Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And so should you show honor to an ungodly authority? Should you? Yes. And you see, as Americans, we go, well, they're not worthy of respect because they're not godly. And we somehow try to Christianize and make God give us an excuse to show dishonor. No, I don't have to respect them, what they do, how they can hear themselves, how they speak, how they talk, how they act. It's not about that. I show honor to them because they are an authority that God has placed over my life. And I'm not doing it because of who they are, I'm doing it because of who God is and whose I am. And by showing, and here's the thing, who has to give an account for that moment, okay? When, let's just say, they're doing something at your place of work or in our country that is against godly principles, are you called to account for how they have led, or are you called to account to how you honor? How you honor. Are they called into account for how they led? Yes, yes, they are. And God says, you got to trust me on this. Let me deal with their inconsistencies. Let me deal with their ungodliness. What I'm asking of you is to honor them. And it will show me great honor when you honor the authorities I've put over you, especially in times when there's nothing respectful about them. Because you're basically looking at God and say, God, the only reason I am showing them honor is because of my love for you. And God says, that's my boy. That's my girl. Don't you love it when your son or daughter comes home from school and says, you know, my teacher was really mean to me, and here's what she said, and she was putting us down, but I know I'm not supposed to talk back to teachers. But I just want to tell you, it really hurt my feelings. Now, do you look at your kid and go, next time your teacher says that, you give her a piece of your mind, son? No. It is fist bump time for ice cream. Right? Well, whatever. Whatever you do. Because you are so proud of your child for showing honor, even in a situation where the person was not worthy of respect. And God looks upon you and upon me in the same way, and he says, I want to see you showing honor, not because of them, but because of me. Because you're honoring the authority structure that I've placed. And then next of all, the last area of authority is a spiritual authority. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work, for they work hard among you to give you spiritual guidance. I'm out of time, but I want to tell you two quick stories about how this has happened, and I've seen this happen in life. There are some people who see their pastor, whether it be you all here and I'm your pastor or the other pastors on our staff, or maybe you come to another church and you're just here visiting this weekend, there's a way that you view that pastoral authority of your life. And I've had times where I've called people up, and I will never forget the day I called this guy up. He was doing some things in his marriage that was not right, was not godly, was not biblical. And I called him up and was like, hey man, what's up? And he's like, why are you calling? I said, I just want to see if you want to go out to lunch sometime. He has a long pause and he goes, I'll stop. I said, what do you mean? I just want to see if you want to go to lunch. He goes, no. I know why you're calling. I know why you want to go to lunch. I'll make a change, and it's going to start today. So I was like, I was just kind of calling for lunch. He goes, Steve, my pastor doesn't normally call me on a Tuesday at work. I'll make the change, message delivered. Don't got to worry about it. You can check back and up on me, and you'll see I'm going to do it. And he did. And it's so funny because every so often I'll see him in the hallway out there, and I'll say, how are things going at home? And he knows exactly what I'm talking about. He knows I am checking up on him from that phone call from several years back. And as soon as I just say, how are things going at home? he instantly will respond to me what he's doing, or sometimes he's been off a track and says, no, I need to get back on. I'm sorry. You know, that's it. Why? Because there's a respect for that authority. There's another situation. I cannot go into the details of the family, but I will tell you that the entire time I was his pastor, and I use that word only in terms of the fact that he went to the same church I happened to be the pastor of. This was back in Florida. Utter disdain. Never any respect. He would bark at me, yell at me, chew me out, degrade me, do all kinds of things. And at home, his family just kept spiraling down. And there was no ability whatsoever for me to ever to speak any kind of life or truth into him. And it's one of the most tragic stories of any family in a church I've ever been a part of. And I remember when it all went down, somebody says, so what's your thoughts? And I said, I don't mean to be callous or cold, but there was nothing anybody could do to help that family, because that family never respected any authority that God ever placed in their life as a means to help or get them back on the right path. And here's the thing. I don't have an ego need for your respect or honor. I don't walk in here and gloat over that. It's just not a deal for me. My wife does a great job of keeping me humble, okay? That's trust me. You know, she does a great job. She honors me as her husband, but she does a great job of making sure I recognize just where I am in the things of life. And that's what I need from her. I don't need that from y'all. I need that from her. Just side point. But you need it. You need it. You need it. I remember a friend of mine he's in the Navy, and now I'm going to say something about military culture, and I'm probably going to get emails about this because I don't know what I'm talking about, because yes, I have never served. My father served, but I never served. I don't know. I only know about military life from what you tell me. And it was a Navy friend of mine who went to go work at a command where he was the leader of the command, and it was a joint command. So there was people from mostly Army, and he was mostly Army builders leading. And he says there's a completely different culture in the Army than there's in the Navy about talking back or back talk and trying to go above authority and talking back to authority that we don't find in the Navy. And we were kind of talking about why that is. I said, you know, my theory would be, you know, the history of the Navy culture is that you're on a ship, and if you talk back and dishonor the authority structure in the Navy when you're on a ship, there's a word for that called mutiny, and that cannot be tolerated because you're in a close quarters. But when you're on an Army base and you can go wherever you want and you can have other places to go and you're not, you know, confined on a ship, there's a lot more need, there's a lot more opportunity for it. And we're just talking about the differences of it and how difficult. He says this was the hardest command of my entire career because there was a lack of respect and honor for the authority structure within the military. Now, I'm not saying that against the Army. Don't hear that as that. But what he was saying is just very difficult to lead in those circumstances. It's very difficult to provide safety for your troops in those circumstances. And that's what he was most concerned about in the place they were in, because they were in a hostile environment. He was very concerned for the safety of my troops, but I felt like as if I would do things for their safety, but yet they would disregard my orders because they felt they knew better. And I say all that to say, when we disrespect the authorities God placed over us, here's the thing, God can't bless that. And sometimes he just says, all right, you're on your own. You're on your own. You don't want a spiritual authority of your life? You don't want a government authority of your life? See how that works out. But don't come to me and ask me for things, because I can't help you in this situation. Jesus could do no miracles for them. And so we don't really have time for it, but we also need to honor those who are alongside of us. And then also, if we know from other scriptures, we should honor those who are beneath us. What does Jesus model for us over and over and over again? He models showing honor to those who are beneath him. So how about you this morning? Are you showing honor to those who are above you and recognize the authorities that God has placed in your life as his authorities? Are you showing honor to those who you're living life with and doing life together with? Are you showing honor to those who are beneath you, who you have nothing personally to gain by showing them honor, but just showing them honor? Would you join with me as we close? Father, I would like to start off this prayer by saying, Lord, that all of us struggle with honor. But we all know that word struggle is just Christianese code for I'm sinning in this area, and I don't want to call it a sin. I just rather whitewash it and call it a struggle. As much as we would like to say that we are very different than everybody else around us, We have bought into the American lie that it's all about respect and what is shown and what is earned and what is deserved. But your word shows us that we should show honor. Not because of who they are or what they have done, but because of who you are to us, God. And that by showing honor for even ungodly authorities that you've placed over us. It's all about how much we value you and the structures that you've placed us within. So, Father, we come before you and we repent. We apologize for our dishonor. And ask that we might once again be put in a place of blessing, a place worthy of reward for honoring the structures in our life. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.